Chapter 11. Before the Battle. As George walked quickly to the hotel, he felt a mixture of emotions. He was excited about the coming battle, but he was also thinking about other things. He thought about Amelia and how badly he had treated her since Becky had arrived in Brussels. "I'm not a good husband," he thought. "I wish I had treated her better, especially tonight." He thought about how kind and generous his father had been until recently. He thought about all the bad things he had done, and he was filled with remorse. When he looked into the bedroom, Amelia appeared to be asleep. Before he woke her to say goodbye, he decided to write a farewell letter to his father. After closing the letter and addressing the envelope, he kissed it. Then he walked into the bedroom, looked at Amelia's sleeping face, and gently kissed her forehead. "I'm awake, George," Amelia said quietly, putting her arms around his neck. In another room at the same hotel, Rawdon and Becky were busy with their finances. Rawdon was worried about Becky's future if anything should happen to him. "Look here, Becky," said Rawdon. "If I die, let's see what there is for you. I have been lucky at cards recently. There is £230 in this drawer, and I'm leaving the two horses for you. They're good horses, and you'll get a lot of money if you sell them. And let's see, you could sell my rings and watch and my pistols." Rawdon began to write down all his possessions and the prices he thought Becky could sell them for. "Dearest love, there's no need for this. You'll be fine," Becky said. And Rawdon thought he saw her wipe tears from her eyes before looking up at him with a brave smile. Dobbin, who had no wife to say goodbye to, went to Joss's room, which was next to Amelia and George's. Joss, of course, was not going to fight. He had left the party early after eating and drinking too much, as usual, and was asleep when Dobbin knocked loudly on his door. Joss finally woke up, angry at being disturbed, and opened the door. "Joss, listen, the army is about to march," said Dobbin. Joss didn't know what to say to this news, as he didn't have to march anywhere. "Joss, promise me that you will take care of your sister," Dobbin said. "Comfort her because she's very upset that George is going to battle. If anything happens to George, remember that she's only got you to help her. If we seem to be losing, get her safely back to England. Promise me. Oh, and have you got enough money?" "Dobbin," Joss said, still half angry at being woken, "you don't need to tell me to take care of my sister. And as for money, well, I'm sure I've got all that we need." "That's good, Joss," said Dobbin. "I will be able to march away easier knowing that you're going to take care of Amelia." Again, Joss didn't know what to say. Finally, he said, "She's in her room, if you want to say goodbye to her." He hoped that Dobbin would do this, so that he could go back to sleep. Dobbin went to George and Amelia's room and knocked on the door. Amelia was very pale, and she hardly looked at Dobbin when he came in. As George was putting things in his bag, Amelia walked around the room, looking very sad. "I just came to say goodbye, Amelia," Dobbin said. "Goodbye, Dobbin," Amelia said quietly, and gave him her hand. Dobbin held it for a moment, and then turned to George. "I'll meet you downstairs," he said, and left the room. George embraced Amelia one last time, then left the room. "Thank heaven the farewell is finally over," he thought. By the time George got downstairs, he was excited and ready to march. He and Dobbin left the hotel at the same time as Rawdon. Soldiers were marching along the street, led by men playing drums. Rawdon went to find his general, and Dobbin and George joined their regiment as it marched past them. When they looked up at the windows of the hotel, they saw Amelia and Becky waving goodbye. When the parade of soldiers had disappeared and the sound of the drums could no longer be heard, Amelia got into bed and cried. Becky put the bouquet of flowers from the previous night in a vase. As she did so, the note from George fell out. She read it quickly, smiled, then put it into a little box with the other mementos that her husband knew nothing about. Rawdon didn't have to worry, she thought. He doesn't know that I've got many admirers, and they all give me expensive presents. This watch from George must also be valuable. I can always sell the presents if I need to. Then she got into bed and slept very peacefully. She was not worried about Rawdon or about her future.